Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the first letter of St. Peter, the second chapter, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Years ago, following a Bible study on similar thought that's expressed in this text, a gentleman from the congregation I was serving came up to me and he said, years ago when I was in the Army back in the early 60s, I believe it was, when I was in the Army, I would get up at night once the lights went out and I kept a flashlight and a Bible in my footlocker. And I would take it into bed with me and just read from the Bible a little bit, turn off the flashlight and put it away. And this was discovered by some of the other servicemen and was told to his sergeant. And so his sergeant decided to always single him out and kind of pick on him for his faith, make him do extra push-ups and things like that. He said it became very apparent and obvious that he was being targeted and singled out because of his Christian faith. In the text in front of us, St. Peter talks about how in this world Christians are sojourners and foreigners. They are pilgrims. Some translations use the word aliens. It's quite a way to describe us, isn't it, in this world and all of its unbelief, that believers in Christ are like aliens. We're like we're from another planet, from another place. And following Christ and loving him and sticking up for his word may cause us to really stand out in this wicked world. In the verses right in front of this, St. Peter gives us those very beautiful and very familiar words. He says to Christians, you are a chosen people. It's a great expression. God selected you from humanity to be believers in Christ. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Again, the priests were selected out of the children of Israel, from the sons of Aaron, the Levites. He says, you are a holy nation. Again, the concept of holiness is this idea of being set apart from the unbelieving, sinful world. A holiness that we don't always feel in ourselves or even see in ourselves. Martin Luther said, the church is so hidden that even the Christian doesn't see his own holiness. But you're a holy people. That's the way God describes Christians. And then in those words, he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I remember as a pastor when I would do a baptism and that sign of the cross, when I got to make that on that little child's forehead and breast, what a powerful symbolism I've always thought that I was doing here, taking this little human being and marking this child now in the waters of baptism to belong to the Savior who's going to take him to heaven someday, pulling him out of the unbelieving world, and now translating him by God's grace into this kingdom of grace. So the believers in Christ, Christ's Christian church on earth, has a different focus to it. It has a different reason for existence than does the rest of the unbelieving world. That really came through to me once at a preschool roundup. The congregation I was serving up in Minneapolis had started a preschool, and they decided to advertise out into the neighborhood and invite people to come and find out about their new preschool that they were starting. And there were quite a few people that showed up. And I remember the director of our preschool got up and talked about what a wonderful thing it was for our congregation now to have this, for children to come even at this young age and learn about their Savior, and so someday they could go to heaven. Anyway, this lady, a neighboring person not from our church, came up to me afterwards and found out I was a pastor there, and she said, you guys seem to be so overly focused on getting to heaven. And I thought, yeah, thank you. That's what we're all about. And that's how the believer now looks at life and what we do in life and how we go through things in this life. If you look at the means of grace that around which the holy Christian church is gathered, the word and sacraments, they're all about getting us to heaven. That's it. That's really what we're here for. So we shouldn't be surprised at that. And that gives us a little bit different look at life. It causes us to then look at our lives. It causes us to look at people differently. It causes us to look at our jobs a little bit differently. It causes us to look at our station in life, what we do with our money, a variety of different things. It's going to be will be impacted because of this heavenly focus we have in Christ. Now, Peter, talking to believers in this world, says these three important things to us. First of all, stay away from the things that want to destroy this faith. Listen, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And that's important to keep in mind. Temptation for us is not just to get you to fall into a sin. Yeah, that's part of it. But the real intent behind that temptation is to kill your faith. The more you love that sin, and the less you want to repent of it and give it up to God and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, keep me from this, the more you love your sin, it destroys your faith. That's the issue. It's not just the sin to fall into. It's the fact that it's there to corrode, kill, and destroy our love of Christ. Secondly, Peter says, be careful how you live among the citizens of the world, non-Christians. Be careful how you live among them because they're watching us all the time. They are paying attention. They are looking for any slip-up from believers in Christ and those who profess to follow him. They are just waiting for us to mess up. Listen to what he says. He says, have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, unbelievers, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is the way Dr. Paul Kretzmann writes it to us. He says, Christians should conduct themselves in all their dealings before men, should live in the very midst of the heathen, that their life would be a testimony for them in favor of the gospel. That's a great line. How we live among the unbelieving world should, by God's grace working in us, should make the gospel look favorable to the world. Years ago, when people actually used phone books, in the back of the Mankato phone book, there was a fold-out map, and it was the greater Mankato area. And I always thought it was interesting, when you would unfold that map, it was just folded twice. So it created a perfect cross in the middle. And right at the heart of the fold in the middle, about a half inch off, was Bethany College. This campus has not been put here by God to hide from the world. This campus has not been put here to insulate you from the world, but rather to put you right in the middle of the unbelieving world. That's where Christ wants his church to be and to live and belong. Because that's when the city set on a hill is not there to hide, but to let the light of the gospel shine forth, even through the good deeds of those who profess Christ. And I want to pass along a compliment to this campus and to our students and to our professors. And it happened to me about 5-6 years ago. I was asked by a young couple who had mistakenly not applied for their wedding license in time, and they had to do a rush job on it before the weekend. If you get married someday, make sure you get your license taken care of in the right proper time. And when this happens, you have to go before a judge, and somebody has to go and testify before the judge that this is not just some quick fly-by-night thing. And so this couple asked me, I believe it was on a Thursday, their wedding was Saturday, to go with them in front of a judge, Blue Earth County judge. And I was standing behind the two of them, and as the judge was talking to them, he looked up at me and he said, you're from Bethany College, aren't you? And I said, yes, Your Honor. And he said, well, then I don't need to deal with this. If Bethany College gives its approval to this marriage, that's good enough for me. Because they do nothing but try to do good things for our community. I said, thank you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, is the way our Lord Jesus says it. The third thing that Peter wants us to remember is this. Don't forget who you truly are in Christ and what you have coming for you in Christ. You know, the night of the Passover, when the children of Israel were waiting for that angel of death to fly over, many of the homes of those Israelites probably didn't look a whole lot different from the unbelieving Egyptians around them. And yet it became very apparent that in the eyes of God, these were quite different people. Right now in this world, you and I blend into the unbelieving world. We are hidden in the masses of humanity. But because of the faith God has put in your heart to love your Savior and to trust in His forgiveness for you, because of that faith in your heart, from the eyes of God, He looks at you in a whole different way. And on the day of visitation, when He arrives, what a great distinction that will be for His faithful. How blessed we are to be part of His church. Amen. Please rise. With me to page 156, page 156 in the front part of your hymn book. And we will use today prayer number 68. Prayer number 68. Almighty God, you show those who are in error the light of your truth, to intent that they may return into the way of righteousness. Grant that all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's kingdom may avoid those things that are contrary to their profession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.